Do you like exclusive stuff?
Yes, sir.
Do you like having access to your favorite podcast hosts in a way like never before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you wish you had access to our old Survivor Oz episodes that you can't find anywhere else online?
Oh, yeah.
If you answered yes to one, two, or all of those questions, then get excited because the Oz Network is now on Patreon. That's right, your favourite podcast has jumped on the Patreon bandwagon to enable a better listening experience for you, our listener. For more details, simply head to www.patreon.com/OzNetwork, where you can sign up for as little as $3 a month. It'll be the best decision you make since that last bad one you made. You're listening to the Oz Movies Podcast, only on the Oz Network.
It is the Oz Network coming to you for another spoiler-free review a month after the movies come out, because that's how we roll here on the Oz Network. We're not trendy and do it the day after. Get invited. Like, no longer are we getting invited to preview screenings. No, we have a month later where we are going to be now looking at the latest movie in the Monsterverse, is that right? That's the correct franchise, isn't it? For some reason, I was thinking of that Tom Cruise one. That's
Dark Universe.
Dark Universe, anyway. Godzilla, X-Kong, semicolon, the new Empire. It's another Empire movie. And I, for some reason, thought this was Kong X Godzilla, but it's Godzilla X Kong. Gone is Godzilla V Kong. It's now an X because that makes sense. And there's an Empire. They're X's. So we've got another one of these movies to do because Colin and I like these movies generally, and we've talked about all of them, have we? We did a month on them.
Yeah.
And we did Godzilla Kong, but it never got released. Anyway, so we've got plenty to catch up on. My name is Ben, and there's no quotes in this movie. You are my home.
And my name is Colin, and just try not to swallow your tongue.
Yeah, I'm looking at IMDb too. look, I am a... When I say I'm a big fan of these movies, okay, I'm not Colin. Like, Colin's seen all the Japanese ones and the Kong ones and all that kind of stuff, and good for Colin. Colin's a smart man. I'm just he's wearing his T-shirt. It says Team Kong. Good for him. I am of the very few people who love the 1998 Godzilla. Shut up. It's a great movie. Colin does like it too. Got very excited when the 2014 one came out and, you know, pretty much enjoyed it. All the other ones were good. And then I haven't seen Monarch Legacy of Monsters yet. It's on my computer ready to watch. Just haven't watched it. So I was like excited for this because we did Godzilla v. Kong a few years ago. It never got released. I think from memory, we both rented it. We were both kind of like, oh, this movie's just what you pay for. It's a giant ape fighting a giant dinosaur in streets, right? Now, I'm just going to reiterate that point because I like it when a giant dinosaur fights a giant ape in cities. I don't want to sit through 90 minutes of pink and blue computerness for so long that I get 10 minutes of the most bland, boring human characters, which they get worse in all these movies. Like, we had Bryan Cranston in the first one. Aaron Taylor Johnson's looking like Meryl Streep all of a sudden.
He's still the worst in this franchise.
I disagree. This movie's horrible when it comes to the human actors. Do they have any in this film? I didn't like this film. It just, I mean, similar to what I said last week about, or the other day about today about Ghostbusters, it was filled with annoying children, so that made my experience worse. But, like, people complain about the Star Wars prequels being soulless things made in computer machines. This was a video game where every 2 seconds they installed the most boring human character in it to shout exposition lines. This movie was just... I want my money back. And just not a good movie. I'm sorry. This franchise has lost me. It just wasn't good.
And this is where we completely disagree, because I loved this movie. I was so into it. And if we're ranking these, I'm going to put this number 2 behind Skull Island.
No.
I think this movie's fantastic. I also disagree, and I've read a lot of reviews that are, I wouldn't say being critical of the human characters, but like being critical of there's not enough humans in them. To me, what works about this movie is that you have a much smaller cast, because Godzilla versus Kong, I remember when I watched that, like when it came out, I'm like, that was fantastic. And then I watched it again a day later, I'm like, yeah, it's still pretty good. Watched a couple months after that, I'm like, not quite as good. The most recent time I watched Godzilla versus Kong, I'm like, this movie is a lot of problems. That the biggest problems being that I feel like everything you just said about this one, New Empire, is what I feel about Godzilla versus Kong, which I still enjoy that movie. But that movie has like as many characters as Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, and you've split them all up and nobody really comes together. And this one, like, let's just focus on four or five humans, kind of like Civil War. You know, Godzilla, X, Kong, and Civil War, very similar films in a lot of ways. You have a small cast. So even if they're not, you're spending 20-minute sequences just following Kong and a bunch of apes, which I love, by the way. When you do get back to the human characters, there's at least focus on them. The little girl from the first one, like, she was, it was an interesting idea behind a character, but without having the context of this tribe, having never seen them, you know, outside of like appearances decades earlier in Skull Island, you don't get what's going on. I still say that, like, they needed another Kong movie to bridge the gap before Godzilla versus Kong. Here, she has something to do. There's a story arc with him and her and her adopted mom. I thought the guy, the podcasting guy, was much better in this one than he was the last one. I thought Dan Stevens stole this entire movie.
I didn't realize that was Dan Stevens until I just saw his name on the screen. And I'm like, oh, that was. Yeah. Okay.
Did you at least like him? Because he's really entertaining. He's kind of like the, I wouldn't call him the Han Solo. I guess he's kind of the Han Solo of this movie.
No, because my issues with any of the human characters, they're so limited in their movie and they're just all over the top stereotypes that grate on you. Like, literally his introduction scene is like this wanky scene with him and music and look at me, I'm cool. It's like straight away within two. But I hate, like, you've got to, you pull that off in a certain way, because to me it's just like, it's shoved in your face. This is such a bloated movie with the visuals and the plot. Like, and I usually like that. Like, I like that about that these movies have slowly gotten to the point where you're watching what you're paying for, a giant dinosaur fighting a giant monkey, like a gorilla. Like, yes, I know what I'm paying for when I see these movies, but like, there's a level of buying into what you're selling versus going too far. And then when you just shove this guy down your throat like that, like, immediately. Podcast guy, they just, again, we complained about this in the Ghostbusters movies, like, why is this what podcast people are? Like, I'm not even just saying that as like a thing, like, it's just, it's silly. The little girl is so annoying. Who is the main woman? My thumb is more interesting than she is. I'm sorry, but like, I barely even remember, like, when I saw her and little girl, I'm like, were they in the first one? I think they were. That's how unmemorable they are. And then literally their only purpose of this plot is to shout exposition lines. Oh, we found a wall and let's go over all this history because we just discovered this, so I automatically know it all. And then the freaking Kong with going on journeys with little, I mean, even the chimp was annoying, the little thing. And then I'm like, where's Godzilla? I don't care about these monkeys. He's up on Earth soaking up sun rays and destroying the pyramids. I want more city destruction. Good that Rio got destroyed at the end. But like,
But again, this is why I like this movie, because it is a little bit more of a Kong movie, a lot more of a Kong movie than a Godzilla movie. The last one was kind of an even split between them. And maybe because we've had the extra Godzilla movies, like, I wanted more Kong, and I am a more of a, as big of a fan as I am of Godzilla.
So I'm more of a King, Kong guy. So that's,
I'm team Kong.
I'm team Godzilla.
I'm more King Kong. And to me, this was like, it was like the King Kong sequel we never got, you know, to Skull Island. And as far as the use of Godzilla, like, only because King Kong himself is featured so prominently in this movie do you notice how little Godzilla's in it. But this was the whole argument that people had for the 2014 Godzilla, which I still don't understand the love for that movie. The movie's not loved by any means. There's
a small
margin.
It is.
There's a small margin of, like, the separation between all these movies when you look at audience and critical response, with the exception of Skull Island, which seems to be the one universally loved one. But still, like, people seem to be saying, like, oh, the 2014 Godzilla did so much better. In that movie, Godzilla's in it, like, maybe half as much as in this one. But it's more distracting in this because you get so much Kong. But this is the way Godzilla should be used, where you tease and then you have the big reveal at the end. And as far as the action goes, like, yeah, very video gamey. But that was my problem in going back and rewatching Godzilla versus Kong, is that you have this giant climax that took place with, you know, like, Hong Kong and everything. You just have neon lights of buildings, and there is not a person in sight despite the fact they're destroying a city. This one, you're getting back to the action scenes are happening, and you're seeing humans react. Like, that's what made the Jurassic. If you have the Jurassic Park movies, and you don't have, you know, Malcolm and Grant and Ellie on the ground and stuff like, you notice I didn't mention Chris Pratt or Bryce Howard, but you don't have these humans reacting to it, and even just in a city environment. You don't really get the epic scale of this battle. And this one, they got back to that where it was, like, non-existent in the last one.
I would disagree with that because, yeah, you get a bit of human interaction at the end. But again, it's just like a standard movie like this where let's destroy a city and then let's all celebrate at the end that we got away with it while millions of people have just died before your eyes. Like, that's, I mean, you and I are obviously huge fans of the DCEU, and we generally praise that they kind of all shift in tone and, you know, like they're a bit muddled with the tone. But I think you and I would agree that one thing that we definitely missed that they went away with in the DCEU was kind of those initial darker ones where, like, we were getting a real world reaction to, like, Superman and what how the world would react to that. And that's my big criticism here. Like, 2014 Godzilla did that so well with, like, the San Francisco stuff and kind of, like, the fallout from that. And, again, I haven't watched Monarch Legacy of Monsters yet, but I believe a lot of that still deals with that. And then even Godzilla, the second Godzilla one with those other characters in it when they destroy Fenway Park, like, even that dealt with, like, the aftermath of this city destruction. Now it's just an afterthought. And, like, I kind of – that's what I think this franchise has lost. Like, it kind of lost that grounded reality of what these monsters are. And I'm sure Monarch does that, and I know they've just renewed that for a second season. They're going to be doing other spin-offs. So they're obviously wanting to explore that, and I commend them for that. I just feel that this movie just went too far because it's just, again, like, I did read your Letterboxd review and you liked the fact, as you were saying, that a lot of this takes place in this Middle Earth,
yeah,
whatever it's called. And I personally don't like that. Like, I want this to be more in cities and around the world. Like it got confusing when all of a sudden Mothra was back. Sorry if that's a spoiler, but I was like, what? Like, and then, to me, like, the big bad of this movie was not very good. And, like, I mean, again, I don't know enough about this franchise to know, like, what fans are getting moist in the nether regions are about. But to me, in the last movie, when you had frickin' Mechagodzilla or whatever it was called, like, isn't that your ultimate big bad? And if you just wasted that in the first one and now you've got frickin' drugged up ape who I don't even understand what the point of this plot was. Like again, even exposition scenes when Blando Sarah McBland-Bland is basically, look, there's a walk. She's horrible. She's so, like, boring. Well, you make Dan Stevens boring. Like, I just don't get it.
I'm sure we talked about the
original Rachel House as a Kiwi fan, if you've ever seen Hunt for the Wilder People, and because I know you had What's-His-Face in the last movie from that movie, so obviously the Godzilla franchise liked that movie. But, like, Rachel House, a great Kiwi actor, and she's wasted in this movie.
Well, I don't know whether this is just something that they have intentionally done or if it's a weakness in the MonsterVerse, but your human leads are always bland. Like, that's what we talk about Skull Island.
Horrible.
But, like, Skull Island, you know, Samuel Jackson, fantastic. John Goodman, fantastic.
I forgot he was even in that.
Corey Hawkins, you know, Jack Bauer, fantastic. But then you had Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson. I'm a huge Brie Larson fan. I'm like, I cannot defend Brie Larson in that movie. Same thing with Aaron Taylor Johnson, Elizabeth Olsen, and
one of the
Skarsgård,
wasn't he one of the other ones as well?
Yeah, he was in the last one. But it's the supporting characters that always are the fun ones. But Rebecca Hall, who plays the lead, as you say, bland. She's amazing in everything outside these movies. And again, I'm not going to defend her much in these, but it's sort of just that's what these movies are. You cast like a good actor and have it be something really boring and bland.
Who's your guy? I keep forgetting his name. Friday Night Light guy who was in the second.
Kyle Chandler.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, now and that's why I'll defend that movie to the death, The King of the Monsters. Because, like, you had Kyle Chandler in there. It's funny because I talked to a coworker this week who had just seen it. And he said, yeah, I didn't love it. I kind of wanted Kyle Chandler to come back. Why isn't Kyle Chandler in this one? We mentioned this on the Ghostbusters one, like, about how, and I like this revolving door of characters because these movies aren't the problem with, like, let's say the Scream franchise is that you're so based around your original characters coming back over and over and over again that there's no threat. You know, you can't, when you know an actor's always going to be there, never going to die, there's never a threat to them. And what I think these movies have done well is that you basically will have a cast, and then in the next movie, you bring one or two characters over, like Ken Watanabe carried over from the first Godzilla, the second. Then you had Millie Bobby Brown and Kyle Chandler carrying over the next ones. And
she's not in it. She's not in it. Yes.
But then you have Rebecca Hall and podcast guy and the girl carrying over this one. And the next one is probably going to be Dan Stevens and somebody else, you know? But, like, I don't want to get the human characters are irrelevant in these movies. They're only there to kind of provide something for you to identify with. But the longer they keep them around, the more it'll become about them. And I want this to be about the monsters.
But yes and no. I mean, yeah, this is a franchise, but you've got to have something to tie it in that as a human we can care about. And I think you're bringing back these characters. Like, again, yeah, it's on me that I didn't rewatch these movies beforehand. And obviously I know there's super fans who are going to know these movies back to front. And I completely understand that. But, like, you also need to kind of have it for the casual fans where, like, I barely remembered that Rebecca Hall was in the last one. I barely remembered this little girl. I barely remembered Podchester.
Until she explained, I cut my hair.
But what, short hair. But, like, it's more of a, if you're going to bring him back, yeah, but, like, have something to connect them in a level because, it like, even in an MCU movie, at best, I'm going to at least go, oh, yeah, okay, I remember them from that movie and, you know, I have issues with those. Like, yeah, I had my issues with Aaron Taylor-Johnson and whichever Olsen it was in the first one. But at least I remember to the point where I'm honestly like, I would get excited if all of a sudden they returned. Like, it's kind of like, you know, how you have these characters that on paper are bad, but then the ones that come afterwards just become so much worse that you're kind of like, I long for those ones. Like, I'm a big Lost World Jurassic Park defender and I'm longing for a Vince Vaughn Julianne Moore return in one of those ones. You know, I would have been as excited if Kelly come back. I would have been as excited if Dr. Grant Nat comes back. But I don't know. Like, I just, like, tie them into a point where, like, it's at least interesting and there's stakes involved. There's no stakes involved for these characters. Like, it's just like, oh, big monkey fight, big thing. And even then, it's, again, Godzilla just doesn't show up. It's monkey fight monkey. And these monkeys are annoying. And then it's just, like, you literally knew that which character...
I can't wait for Planet of the Apes month. These monkeys are annoying.
I'm anti-monkey. sorry, ape. Oh, I'm getting shoved into the grass. But, like, again, I'm not tied to this franchise. I'm not tied... Like, I'm going to come into these franchises and be critical, and I apologize to the super fans because it would be the same as if you're criticizing something that I like. I get that. But, like... The Godzilla from 1998 is an absolute masterpiece compared to these, and how people can criticize that for characters?
Well,
they've got characters in that film that you love. I'm sorry, they're slightly racist, but they're amazing to love. Like, they're likable and entertaining, and Matthew Broderick. Sorry.
You'll be pleasantly surprised that in the last couple of weeks since this has come out, I've seen a lot more praise for, not in contrast to this, because it seems like people are about enjoying this as much as they enjoyed the last couple. You know, this is that franchise where it's like, it's never going to be as diehard or fanatical as Star Wars or, you know, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Marvel, DC, anything.
It's compare it to Fast and the Furious or Transformers. It's big, flashy, giant things exploding. And sometimes you need that in life and people enjoy that and good for them.
Yeah. And people seem to enjoy this about as much as they enjoyed the other ones. But there's been a bit startings of a resurgence for this. Like, hey, the 1998 Godzilla was not that bad, which is what we said years ago. It's not a Godzilla movie, but it is a good monster movie. One thing I just want to quickly touch on, I don't know how much we even have to talk about this still, but the soundtrack in this movie, the use of songs in this movie was so brilliantly done. The Golden Earring Twilight Zone song is they're going into Hollow Earth. And I will say, watching Monarch, what I think is interesting about this entire franchise is that everything does have a completely different tone. The way that Hollow Earth was presented in the first movie, different from the way it's presented here, because we're seeing a different part of it. The way that Monarch did it, completely different. But the way that they use that Twilight Zone song for the entrance into Hollow Earth, like, that sold it as a spectacle. And then you got, like, Kiss, I Was Made for Loving You, and then, what was the other one? Loverboy, Turn Me Loose. Like, there's some great use. This, it's not quite the level of, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, but there's a great use of, like, classic songs that you wouldn't think of to appear in a movie that is in this.
I think it's one of these ones where they just go over the top with it. It's just look, here's classic song to kind of take you into it. And I don't know, like, even just a lot of the stuff with this, like, I'm even, like, this is a random little complaint, but even, like, the poster of this movie should have sold me for what it was going to be. Because, like, the first four in this franchise, they kind of, like, take, like, you've got Godzilla or Kong in the distance and you've kind of got a city shot and kind of, like, bit of smoke, bit of mystery around it. Like, there's a bit of whatever. This one is just them staring at the poster going, like, ah! With, like, Godzilla with, like, he's in his pink neon phase. And I swear the special effects in this movie got worse.
Because, again, what we're seeing, a Hollow Earth looks more, it's the more realistic approach they're trying to go for things, as opposed to everything is so bright lights. And I will say, like, the pink Godzilla thing, like you're saying, it stands out a little bit too much, you know, but I'm not anti the pink Godzilla, a lot of people are, but
I do like Godzilla sleeping in the Colosseum. That's cute.
Yeah, that's great. And again, that's some of that world that, like, we're talking about where you're seeing how the world responds to this. You know, like, we've got Godzilla is just sleeping in the Colosseum. Oh, he's found a new spot. You know, how, what are we going to do about this?
But I think my issue with it is there's no real conflict from, like, I think you need, and you've got that in the first four, where you've kind of got this humans are evil element where, like, I'm pretty sure when the unreleased one we talked about, like, the villains in that one where they make Mecha Kong and mm-hmm. whatever it is, like, again, that toes into our general belief of a movie, like, are they really villains, though? Like, if you lived in this world, what are the consequences of giant, you know, monsters that take over? Like, yeah, you're going to have Monarch who are defending them and that sort of stuff. I get that. But at the same time, like, these are giant creatures who are consistently destroying cities. Like, we need to reel these in. And we've got none of that. There's no stakes for that in this movie. And also, again, my one criticism about this and any Godzilla franchise movie is you've always got to have at least one scene of let's bring in the military to shoot one of these giant creatures when we have firmly established that shooting Godzilla with missiles does nothing. You are wasting
nuke them in the face.
You are your military budget by killing innocent pilots, by sending them into battle. It is literally doing nothing. So, yes. Also, IMDb, all these movies have basically the same score. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. That's what I was saying. It's like people just, they accept them for what they are, and one is not really better than the other. Skull Island's a little bit higher, though, isn't it?
Well, got Skull Island, 6.7. Then you have this with a 6.5, if I'm not mistaken. Then the first Godzilla, 6.4. Godzilla Kong, 6.3. King of Monsters, 6.0. So, like, they've all basically...
King of Monsters deserve better.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if off the top of my head, like, I can't even remember what I ranked them when we did these months. But, I mean, I wasn't as big on Skull Island as you were. It still was enjoyable from memory. But
I thought you were.
I can't remember. Like, I didn't dislike it. But this would be bottom for me. I don't really have a lot to add. I mean, this has done very well box office-wise from what I can see, though. Yeah. Surprised a lot of people that this is what made its budget back basically in a week. But, like, I might not have liked this movie, but, I mean, I've seen one Fast and Furious movie. I've seen one Transformers movie. But, like...
it's way better than those.
But we can be critical of the... And people are critical of those films, but at the end of the day... they've got their fan bases. And do I want to go out of my way to watch the Fast and Furious movies? No. Do a lot of people want to watch those movies? Yes. Do we fault them for it? Mm-hmm. No. Like, they've got their... Like, people like the Twilight movies. People like the 50 Shades of Grey. Like, they're idiots.
Still?
But, like, people like what they like, and they've obviously got a franchise, and this has got its audience. Will I go see the next one of this? Yes. I still enjoy the concept of big dinosaur fights, big ape. I like it. Mm-hmm. Just because I didn't like this film doesn't mean that I'm not going to go out and watch other ones. It hasn't turned me off the franchise. I'm going to go see the next Jurassic Park movie, sadly, even though like I don't think they want to make it. We'll go see the Star Wars movie. Like, we're still going to see these movies. So anyway, I'm binning it. I'm sorry. I'm binning it. Not for me.
I'm making up for it. I'm buying it. Wow. I love this movie. And I'm already planning to see it again because I have a nephew who's really into these. And he wasn't able to go with us the first time. Or I think we didn't give him an invite. But
which nephew is this?
Oh, this is a middle nephew. It's not Patrick.
A middle nephew. Doesn't even get a name. He's not important to be named in the show. A middle nephew.
I'm the middle one in my family. He's the middle one on his family.
Wow. Okay. Hello, Patrick, by the way. He followed me on Letterboxd, so that's good.
He's on Letterboxd now. Nice.
That was our 399th movie we have ever reviewed. So recap reviewed or rated. So that means the time...
I'm disgusted for what the next one is.
At least in the timeline of when we're recording it, it will be Planet of the Apes 2001, whereas the time of releasing it, it won't quite be that way. So there you go. This week, we've still got Bad Movie Month to end. Don't listen to this Thursday because it's Independence Day Resurgence. It's shit. Don't listen to it. Seriously, it's shit. But 24 still continuing, Amazing Race. And I guess next review will be, what will our next review be? What have we got coming up?
Yeah. I mean, there's that Ryan Gosling movie, The Fall Guy, but it'll be a while before I see that. Yeah. What is it? Mad Max. Is that the first one to come out?
I won't be seeing that. You'll be seeing those alone. I mean, I'm seeing these, this little franchise
Planet
called
of the Apes,
Star
probably.
Wars. Yeah, probably Planet of the Apes. You're right. I'm seeing the original Star Wars trilogy on the big screen in less than a month, if that counts. And I'm also seeing GoldenEye and Tomorrow Never Dies if we want to do reviews of those. But, you know, it would be Planet of the Apes, I guess. But outside of that, it might not be until the July release window where I think a lot of that you're going to be doing by yourself, because I'm going to be overseas and I don't know if I'm going to get to see, sadly, Twisters or Deadpool, which I'll do my best to see because I really need to see Twisters on the big screen, even though I'm not looking forward to it. I rewatched the first Twister last night. Still stands up as a masterpiece of filmmaking. Yeah, not a year where I think we're anticipating a lot of movies coming out. But can I just say, with Ryan Gosling doing that whatever guy, is this just a thing that a Ryan has to do a movie with like a guy at the end of it? So you've got like Fall Guy and Free Guy? Like, I got a bit confused with the Ryan Guy franchise. So
what's our next Ryan? Who's another famous Ryan?
Ryan Felipe doing That Guy.
That Guy.
Remember That Guy. Do all the things at the end of this and listen to our episodes because they're great. My name is Ben and...
And my name is Colin and...
Thanks for downloading this episode of the Oz Network. Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing to the podcast via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or by copying our RSS feed into your preferred podcast provider. And while you're there, please drop us a rating and leave us some feedback. You can also be sure to stay up to date with all the latest episodes and happenings from the show, as well as finding out how you can get involved in upcoming episodes by following our social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as getting everything you need under one roof at theoznetwork.net. Thanks again for listening, and we'll speak to you next time. Do you like exclusive stuff?
Yes, sir.
Do you like having access to your favorite podcast hosts in a way like never before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you wish you had access to our old Survivor Oz episodes that you can't find anywhere else online?
Oh, yeah.
If you answered yes to one, two, or all of those questions, then get excited because the Oz Network is now on Patreon. That's right, your favorite podcast has jumped on the Patreon bandwagon to enable a better listening experience for you, our listener. For more details, simply head to www.patreon.com/OzNetwork, where you can sign up for as little as $3 a month. It'll be the best decision you make since that last bad one you made.